Welcome to Visual Festation with Pete Adams, where you will learn how to use the law of attraction in developing your successful business. It is wonderful to be self-employed, but if you don't know how business works, then your hope of success could be hindered substantially. And that's why you will want to listen to a powerful and successful entrepreneur, Mr. Pete Adams. He wants you to achieve your dreams. Here's Pete.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network, and welcome to the Visual Festation Show with Pete Adams. I am Pete Adams, and I'm your host, and I'm really grateful that you're here listening to the show today. And some of the stuff I want to share with you today is on the show from my own personal experience is going to, it's probably going to blow your mind. I'm serious on this one because the, when I started doing this show, I made a commitment to myself that I would not be afraid of going down the rabbit hole and sharing the spiritual truths of our experience with all of the listeners. So this is a pretty amazing story that I'm going to share with you. And it goes back to December of 2004, which is the same year that I pretty much nailed all my 12 crazy goals. And one of the things I was thinking about was, I realized that my visual festation system worked. I mean, it's like I manifested the 12 crazy goals, and I knew that it worked. So I'm like, what else could I be, do, or have that I really truly desired? And I thought about that, and then I was just like, you know what? I want to race Ironman Hawaii. And at the time, I had done a handful of Ironman races already. And an Ironman triathlon or Iron Distance triathlon consists of a 2.4-mile swim, a 112-mile bike, followed by a 26.2 full marathon run. So it's a pretty heavy-duty event, and it takes a lot of training and a lot of discipline and a lot of luck, too. So anyways, back to the Hawaiian Ironman. So to get in this race, which is the world championship in Kailua Kona, Hawaii, you actually need to qualify for it by winning another Ironman race or being one of the luckiest people in the world and getting in through the lottery. And for me, that meant, because I'm not the fastest triathlete in the world, I can tell you that. And so I was going to have need to get into this race. I was going to need to win a lottery slot. And you know, it's not as easy as you might think. It's, you know, the odds are better than probably winning Mega Millions or something like that. But out of over 10,000 people who enter their names into the hat for the Ironman World Championship, they only pulled, I believe, 200 names. So anyways, so to get into this race, I was going to need to win a lottery slot. And so I'm like, okay, let's go for this thing. But one of the challenges I had with this one was this is the first time that I ever worked on manifesting anything that had a deadline. You know, typically it was just like, you know, in its own perfect time, in its own perfect way kind of thing. And let the universe, you know, deliver it when it was time. And this time around, I had a real deadline. It was December of 2004. And I put my name into the hat, like I said, and they pulled the lottery results on April 15th of the following year. So that was April 15th of 2005. So between, you know, December and April 15th, I needed to work on manifesting this thing. So I knew the most powerful technique that I had in my toolbox was visualization. So I used creative visualization. And the way I did this was, I bought the DVD from the 2004 race, and I had seen this before on television back in November of 2004, and the race footage, the film work was absolutely incredible. A big part of the race, you felt like you were actually in the race. That's how the film crew did it, and it was amazing. I think they won actually an ESPY award for it because it was so good. So what I started doing was I was watching the DVD probably two or three times a week. And then every single morning, I would race the Ironman in my head, literally. So it was like every single day I was going through the body marking line. I was in this, I could see myself in the swim. I could see myself coming out of the water and getting on my bike. And then I would see myself running the marathon. So I did this for like nonstop every single day for about 3.5 months. And on April 15th of 2005, I'll never forget this day. I was at my friend Brian's office, and he had stepped out for a few minutes to get a haircut. And all of a sudden I realized, I'm like, oh shoot, it's April 15th. And I looked at my watch and I'm like, holy cow, it's like almost noon time. It was like a minute before noon. And that's when they pulled the they published the results. So all of a sudden I'm like, wow, I need to see what's going on here. So I hopped on my friend Brian's computer and I brought up the website for the Ironman Corporation. And as soon as I pulled the thing up, the first name on the list that I saw, it said Pete Adams, Florida. I'm like, Pete Adams, Florida. Is there another Pete Adams? I'm like, holy cow, I got into the race. I couldn't believe it. The hairs on my arms stood up. It was just like, oh my gosh. And then about seconds later, my cell phone started ringing and like nonstop. People were, all my friends from the St. Pete Mad Dogs Triathlon Club, they were all calling they asked me if I knew if I got that I got into whether or not I knew that I got into the race. And I was just like, yeah, I got in. And then I called my wife Robin and I told her and she was just like, oh my God, that's amazing. So it's funny, my friend Brian came back to his office and about 2 minutes later after I had seen this, and I just pointed to the screen on his computer. I said, dude, check this out. And he came around the side of his desk and he looked at it. And he thought it was like a practical joke. He was just like, no way. I'm like, it's real. He's like, oh my God, dude, that's amazing. And so we went out to lunch, and Brian was my training partner for a number of Ironmans that we did together. And he was as fired up as I was. He was really happy for me. And so I was just like, oh my gosh. So next thing I did was obviously was I started training, and I started training hard because I wanted to make sure that went to the getting into the race is one thing, but it's finishing that thing is going to be super important. Otherwise, you once in a lifetime chance and or opportunity, and I didn't want to blow it. So anyways, I was trained hard, and the 6 months went by really quick because it's like they pulled the results on April 15th, and the race is it's almost like exactly 6 months to the day away. So before I knew it, I was in Hawaii, and places. If you guys, anyone who's been to Hawaii knows it's a beautiful place. But anyways, I was there, and it was just like, we got there a few days early, and before I knew it, like again, it was race morning, and so I went down to the. You start off with dropping off your special needs bags, and all, then you get it's called body marking, where they stamp your the number, your race number on your body. It was just like the video. I mean, honestly, guys, it was crazy. So I'm in the body marker line, and my race number was 813. And at the time, 813 was the actually was like the area code where I lived in Tampa Bay, Florida. So I'm like, I never really thought about bills, but that was like kind of cool. Anyways, the after body marking, you just kind of wait and wait for the race to start, and it's almost like a mini eternity because your emotions are super high. You're super nervous. Trust me on this one. I mean, it is like crazy. And everyone else's energy is just as amped up as yours is. So it's like a vortex. But anyways, let's to before I knew it, the I'm standing in the water, and I'm waiting, waiting and waiting, and all of a sudden, the cannon goes off and the race is on. And the first event is the swim. So I'm swimming, and there's 2,000 other people at the same time swimming, and it is like being in a human washing machine. I mean, it's like people are slamming into you. It's pretty crazy. But as I was swimming, I could see feet kicking in front of me, the other swimmers, and it was just like the video. And in the video, they said, you are in Hawaii and you are in the Ironman. And honestly, I heard that go through my head, and I'm like, whoa, this is just like the video. So I'm swimming along there, and the 2.4 mile swim is my weakest event, so it took me a while to do it. But before too long, I emerged from the Pacific. And I got out of the water, and got ready to head out on the bike part of the race. And it was pretty easy finding my bike because there weren't too many left. Because I'm a pretty slow swimmer, unfortunately, but I made the cutoff. So, anyways, this is where it really starts getting interesting. So I'm cruising on the bike, and when you head out, when you first start the bike, there's a two loop section that you go through the pretty much like the downtown of Kailua Kona, and it's wild because you got fans like everywhere cheering you on, and it's hard to describe how cool it is. And then after you do the two loops, then you head out to the out on the Queen K Highway, and you head out into lava fields. And if you've ever seen what the lava fields, if you've ever seen the lava fields, you know it looks like the moon or something crazy. It's just like just all this lava, and it's desolate. It's like there's nothing out there. So I'm cruising out on the bike. I'm cruising into the lava field, and I'm looking out onto the left and the right, and people put white coral on the dark lava, Go Tommy, all these they're almost like signs people create on the lava fields. And I was looking at this, and I'm like, wow, that's just like the DVD again. So I'm riding on the bike, and I'm like by myself, and I'm cruising along, and I'm like, this is again like the DVD. So I'm cruising. I start getting into the some an area with some hills in it, and I caught up this other triathlete who was on a Green Griffin tri bike. They're kind of an unusual bike, but anyways, I saw, I passed her going down a hill because I'm bigger and heavier than she was, and she would pass me going up the hills, and it was like this went on for a probably a good 15 minutes, us taking turns going back and forth like that. And all of a sudden, I rode up next to her, and I'll never forget this. And I just said to her, I said, "Are we really here?" And I meant it because it felt like I was in a dream. I mean, it was like so much like the DVD. It was kind of freaking me out a little bit because I was just wondering, am I alive? Or am I in a coma? Was I in a bike wreck? Was I really here? And I was serious about that. So when I asked her, I said, "Are we really here?" She looked back at me, and she said, she goes, "I know what you mean. It's surreal." And I'm like, "Yeah, you're not kidding." So I ended up getting in the flats and pulling away from her. And I was just like, all right, well, at least I'm not the only one out here thinking this is kind of crazy. So I kept riding out to the turnaround point, in the town of Hy-Vee, and basically the race is an out and back, so you basically go out on one side of the road and come back on the other. And I got to Hy-Vee, and it was starting to get pretty windy, and I was just like, I'm going to Hy-Vee is actually a long climb. I think looking back now, I think it's like about a 5 mile climb from the lava fields. You head up there. Well, anyways, they made the turn on Hy-Vee, and then there's a bike special needs stop where they you can get a your bag, whatever you dropped off. And for me, I just rather than try to ride and eat on the bike, I stopped and basically ate a ham and cheese sandwich that my wife had made, and it was delicious. And went back side back to the trip to back to Kona. And the and one of the things that was killing me was I thought for sure that I would be going down that hill from Hy-Vee at about 50 miles an hour, because I thought there was like this massive headwind, and it wasn't. It was a crosswind. So I am actually pedaling down this hill to get down it. The wind was so powerful, and then I'm just like, oh my gosh, I hope I make it back for the bike cutoff. Because if you don't make the bike cutoff, they don't let you go out on the marathon. Your race is over, and I did not want to have that happen. So I'm heading back to Kona, and again, I start getting into that the start thinking to myself, because I'm all by my lonesome out there, and I'm like, am I really here? And it was kind of it was really strange, because I was thinking, am I dead? Am I in a coma? Because it was just too much like the DVD. This is where it gets crazy, all right? In the DVD, there's a part that shows the race leader on the bike, and you can see the film crew in the helicopter is coming up on the race leader, filming him, and then you can see the shadow from the helicopter, and they're filming this go right over the race leader, and the shadow goes right over the top of him and his bike. Okay, I hope you're sitting down for this one. I'm in the lava fields again, heading back to Kailua Kona. All right, and I start hearing a helicopter, and I'm like, "No way, I'm hearing a helicopter!" And I was in the military, so I know what a helicopter sounds like. I can tell you that. So I'm like, I'm hearing this thing get closer and closer, and sure enough, the helicopter shadow goes right over myself and my bike. When that happened, I'm surprised I didn't just crash, because I am like, that, I cannot believe that just happened. And then I'm just like, there's no way I'm alive. That is too impossible to have happen. To have the helicopter shadow go over me just like it did in the DVD that I had been visualizing it. That was like too much for me to comprehend, to tell you the truth. So I was like, I am definitely dead. There's no possible way that I'm alive. So I kept cycling, making my way back to Kona, and kind of trying to figure out, how does this dream end? What's going on? So I finally made it back to Kona, and then all of a sudden, then I saw my wife Robin. She was in the middle of the road cheering me on, right below the Kona Brewing Company. And then I ran saw some other friends cheering me on, and then I'm like, oh, all right, now at least I got other people with me in heaven here, because I still was like, there's no way this is really happening. And so I started out on the started doing the marathon, and in it's, then all of a sudden it was like, maybe I am alive. And I started just having like massive gratitude for being in the race. And because part of the beginning of the marathon course, you actually run along the water. And so the surf is crashing and the sun is shining. And it was absolutely beautiful. So I'm cruising, on the run. And one of them, again, this is where it gets kind of wild. A lady who was in the 2004 DVD, her name, she's a challenge athlete. Her name was Sarah, her name is Sarah Reinerson. She's an amazing person. And she was actually on the show called The Amazing Race. And she has a prosthetic leg. And she's just an amazing person. And in the 2004 race, she actually didn't make the bike cutoff. It was really windy that year, so they stopped her on the bike, and she was a real big part of that show. Well, anyways, I caught up with Sarah, so I'm running the marathon, and I'm running with a girl from the DVD, and I'm like, here was th now I'm getting like, this is probably not happening. And but one of the things that was so cool about running near Sarah was the crowds were going absolutely crazy because they'd all seen her not finish the bike or the race the year before. And if you watch that DVD, I'll tell you better get a box of Kleenex because when they don't let Sarah race, it's a tearjerker. But anyways, I'm cruising along with Sarah, and it was so funny because the I'm racing with her, and I'm just like, I didn't want to pass her because I was getting like a contact high from all the people in the crowd cheering her on. But eventually she stopped, and I ended up passing her on the on the in the lava field, actually right around the place called the the Energy Lab. And it's a it's kind of it's basically like out you run down into the Energy Lab parking lot and turn around and come back up, and it's pretty much like the halfway point. So I'm cruising up the out of the Energy Lab. And then the DVD, this is a little bit different, was the in the race when they follow, they follow the pros. It's daylight and it's like super hot in there, but the sun goes down pretty early in Hawaii, so right around 6 p.m. or so, it's dark. And I'll tell you, in when you're in the lava fields and it's dark out, it is pitch dark. I mean, you can't see anything, and it's like you can barely see the hand in front of your face. And in fact, they when you're racing and it gets dark out, they actually make you wear a glow in the dark necklace so they can see where people are. That's how dark it is. So, anyways, I'm heading back on the marathon, and again, I'm by myself, and it's super dark out, and now it's really starting to. The marathon is really starting to hurt. It's like every step is feels like it basically it feels like your legs are broken, your feet are broken, everything hurts. It's a real challenge, and it's one of those things that a lot of people will stop walking because running hurts. But one of the things that I've learned from racing an Ironman is that if you start walking, it's going to take you forever because, it's your a 14-hour race can turn into a 18-hour race, and if you don't make the cutoff, you're not considered to be a 9-minute finisher. So I was not, no matter what, I was not going to walk. So I'm running, and I'm in pain, like I said. And now all of a sudden it doesn't feel like I'm in a dream anymore. It's starting to, the way I'm starting to feel, because it hurts so bad. It's almost like my dream is turning into a little bit of a nightmare because it's like, man, this hurts. So, and the it's almost like the closer you get, the slower time passes, because it's like the mile markers, and like everyone that you hit is like it seems like it took longer than the last one, and that's just how it seems, just because it hurts so much. Okay, so this is the high point of this entire story. At about mile 24, by myself, and spirit talked to me. Okay, it's like if you never had spirit talk to you, I know it's gonna sound a little bit kind of crazy, but if you have, you'll know exactly what I mean. So this is what spirit said to me. Spirit said, "You created this. You created all of this." And I was just like, whoa, where did that come from? And then I realized that it's just like all the stuff that had happened this entire day of being in that race, that was like so much like the DVD that it couldn't have been possible, that it had me thinking I was dead. Well, the reason why it was so much like the DVD was actually because I had created this reality of myself racing in Ironman Hawaii, and the experience of everything looking like the feet kicking in the swim, seeing the coral out in the lava fields, just like the DVD, the heading back in, and the thing with the helicopter going over me, just like the DVD, just like I had been visualizing for 3.5 months. Not similar, exactly like it. Exactly like it. And it was so profound because I had spirit tell me that I created this entire experience. And let me tell you, it's like, think about that for a minute. It's like, what I'm telling you is, we all create our realities, and we have the ability to create anything that we desire. And you do that through the effective use of your imagination. So it's just like, this whole experience in Hawaii racing Ironman was not something that just happened. It wasn't some kind of lucky break getting into the lottery. None of that. It was the fact that I had used creative visualization and to create that experience and then experience it in real life. So what I'm going to leave you all with is, Spirit brought this to me because they knew I could handle it. And the thing was that we are all deliberate creators of our experience. So it's like, I know it's going to sound like way down the rabbit hole, but it's the truth. It really is. And not the I've proven it a number of times. But when Spirit told me that back in 2005, when I was on that in that race, it changed my life. And that's why I'm sharing this story with you, because I want you to understand that there truly is nothing you cannot be, do, or have. We all have this ability. We just don't realize we have this ability, and we don't think we can possibly, create our experience. But I'm here to tell you can, and I've done it. And that's why I wrote the book Visual Festation. And next week I'm going to share with you one more story that will again blow your mind and show you that again that you are the deliberate creator of your experience, and that's why I have this show, because I want to share with you my success stories so that you all can do, be, and have anything that you desire. It's like, essentially, if I can do it, you can do it. We all have this ability. So believe that you can, have faith, and set some crazy goals. Go for the big stuff, because you know what? Go big or go home. There's nothing you cannot do. So until next week, I hope you have, you start thinking big and start dreaming big and start thinking about what it is that you want to have in your life experience, and start working on it. And next week, I'm going to talk to you about another example of success. And then from there, we're going to get into reality, because real world reality is not what you think it is. Okay. That's it for this week. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I look forward to catch you next week on the next show. Take care.
Thanks for listening. Pete will be back next week with another great show of Visual Festation. If you'd like to find out more about Pete, go to www.peterdadams.com and listen to all his past shows at loaradionetwork.com/Pete-Adams. See you next week.